Welcome back, humor consumers, to the Life Happens Laugh Anyway podcast. I am one of your hosts, comedian Tracy DeGraff.
And I'm the other one, Catherine.
My best friend.
Yeah.
All right. Still.
Still.
We're hanging in there.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We can't leave each other. We know that. We are on episode 9.
Woo!
I know, because we've been looking forward to when we finally get to the double digits, which is be next time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're episode 9, and today we have a very exciting topic that isn't really humorous on its face.
Right.
But it is something that's going to affect every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the death of our parents, as well as having aging parents.
Right.
Who need support.
Right.
And care.
Mm-hmm.
And our sponsors for this podcast are our loving husbands,
Muffin and Pooh.
So stupid. They're not stupid. We just call them those fun
it's
names.
It's not stupid.
No.
It's affectionate.
It is. It's a little nauseating. Just a little.
For other people.
Right.
But not for, I mean.
Not for us.
No.
This is funny. We appreciate them. We really, really appreciate them. Because they love us and they support us. And if not for them, we wouldn't have this podcast.
This is true.
Right.
Shout out for Pooh and Muffin.
Yeah. Give them a hearty handshake. Well, no. Give them a high five.
Yeah.
Elbow bump.
Oh. Gosh.
I know. We're tired of all that. All right. Well, let's move on to the topic, Catherine. Because let's face it, everyone is going to age and everyone is going to die. Those are two foregone conclusions,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the goal is to keep aging.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, you reach the other goal, which is, night-night.
Right.
So help our listeners to understand why it is that you and I decided to bring this very grim topic to our fun podcast.
Right. And how can we make this
funny,
fun, and enlightening?
Right, yeah. So you tell them.
Oh, great. Well, we are in the thick of it, aren't we?
We are.
You just lost your dad at December 2020.
No, December 2019.
2019, I mean.
Yep. Right. 2019.
And then I lost my dad 5 months later.
Right.
5.5 months later. And you lost your mom, but you had to care for her beforehand a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going through it right now. I'm just caring for her. My sister is caring for her. And I'm caring for her and my two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just in the thick of it. And so we wanted to let the world know that we've got some things to say about it.
Something to say. You know, one of the things that strikes me right now, just as you're saying those things, is it's a journey, our health. And, you know, sometimes that journey, that road of caregiving, nobody really asks for it. You know, they don't say, oh, sign me up for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes and it might be good timing and it might not. It might be right when you're in the thick of incredibly busy time in life as an adult, mm-hmm. and your parent needs your support.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily going to mean that they're going to be old because, as you pointed out, my mother was only 47 and she was diagnosed with cancer and I was 22.
Hmm.
22.
Yeah.
And 27 then when she passed. So she was a young woman when she died, and I was a young woman to be thrown into that journey.
Mm-hmm.
I was barely figuring out how to put my own two feet together and walk as an adult.
Yeah. And so, you were definitely at an age where you really needed your mom, too.
I thought so. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that changes now, because now, you know, being in our 50s and your mom is in her 70s, we still need our parents.
Well, definitely.
You know, mm-hmm. but for sure, when you're in your 20s, you know, mm-hmm. you're clueless about many things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, being very upset about not knowing if I should have the lid on a casserole or not.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah, and I had no one to call. And it was such a dumb question. But back then, we didn't have Pinterest. We didn't have Google. You know, we had our moms.
Yeah.
And I cried a little bit in my kitchen. I'm like, I don't know what to do. There's nobody here. I've got these kids. They want food. Yeah. So I guess the point of sharing that is, you know, you might have this mindset of, well, that's a long ways off. Mm-hmm. You don't know.
Right.
You have don't no know. Idea.
Yeah.
Boy. It could be tomorrow that something changes.
Yeah.
So
even when you somewhat expect it, you kind of also, it still comes in, you're like a deer in the headlights. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah. There are surprises mm-hmm. along the way, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's taxing.
Very taxing.
As we know. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we wanted to share, before we go into kind of the nitty gritty of, we do have some tips to share with you, so stay tuned all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. We have to kind of dangle that carrot out there. Like, we're not just going to be depressing. We're going to have some solutions.
We're not going to be depressing at all, I hope.
Well, okay. You're right.
No, we're not the Grim Reapers.
No, but we do want to acknowledge the truth.
Right.
And we also try to have some fun along the way. Even in the midst of a storm, you can find something joyful to hold on to. Well, one of the things that we wanted to share with our listeners is just a little, it's like a 3-minute audio clip of this bit that I do in my act. Mm. About my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And for the benefit of the live audience, I almost always bring photographs of my dad to show them.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. you can picture him. And I try to describe him ahead of time. And I can't recall if I do that on this clip. So I'll just say it here. My dad, his physique was like a Weeble. He was like a Weeble. Now, women who are my age, I'm 55, you know what a Weeble was. I don't think they make Weebles anymore, but it was a little kid's toy. It was almost looked like an egg.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. their big commercial was Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Anyway, here's a little audio clip of how I introduced my dad to my comedy audience.
Well, my dad is the Irish side of the family, and my father, he is a stitch. He's now 72 years old. You talk about no ozone. He got no ozone. No ozone. And he's a not so tall. There's a picture of my dad. Isn't he cute? He's adorable. His name is Butch. Yeah, and you would think it was St. Patrick's Day on that day, but it wasn't. Oh, no. Oh, no. He just keeps that hat in his car all the time and just pulls it out whenever, you know. And that's me and my sister with my dad. And my dad, now he is on some medication for various problems that he has, diabetes, heart disease, all kinds of stuff. And once a month, a nurse from his insurance company calls him to check up and make sure he's going to all of his doctor's appointments and taking his meds. I happened to be there when he was getting this call. And seriously, this is kind of how it went. She called and he goes, hello. He's very gruff, by the way. That's my imitation of my dad. Hello. And she says, oh, hello, Mr. Moran. We're just checking on you to make sure you're taking all your medication and seeing the doctor and all of that. And I could tell she was going through a little checklist, you know. And she says, do you have any pain anywhere? He goes, well, let me think. Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I have pain in my neck every time you call. And she checked, you know, are you eating good? You sleeping good? Yeah, yeah. And then she goes, are you feeling depressed at all? He goes, depressed? No, but I depress a lot of other people. My dad. I took my best friend to go meet my dad for the first time. He knew we were coming, and we drove to my dad's house. It was like an hour and a half drive, and we get there and we knock on the door, and here comes my dad. No pants. I'm like, Dad, hello? Pants are not optional. Well, I heard the door knock. I just thought I'd better get up and get the door. his legs are so short and they're so pasty white, and his belly is way out here, and he had a long sleeve shirt on that was unbuttoned all the way down, so his belly was hanging out here. And I'm shielding my friend, like, don't look, you'll have to gouge your eyes out. And he didn't have on boxers, he had on whitey tighties. Except they were so big that they were whitey Lucy's. I'm sorry. Etch a sketch. Get rid of that.
You remember?
So funny.
Do you remember that day?
Oh my gosh, it seems like yesterday in some ways, and then it seems so long ago in other ways.
Yeah, that first day that you met my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that little bit of comedy, as I was mentioning it, I said my dad was 72. So that was 5-6 years ago, because my father was 77 when he passed. Mm-hmm. So that meant that it was probably, you know, that event of you coming to see my dad had happened at some point before that. But the beautiful thing about what Catherine did to support me during that time of just that season of life that I still had my dad. Obviously, we didn't know when he was going to pass, but he was older. And, you know, my mom had been gone for a very long time. And Catherine would go with me out to visit my dad. Mm-hmm. So we would spend a day with Butch. Mm-hmm. And we had a blast. He would look forward to it and take us out to lunch and treat us. And he would make fun of Catherine because she would steal his potato chips or his french fries.
Not on purpose.
She just thought they were hers. So he gave her a nickname. He started calling her the chip thief.
Yeah.
But we had a good time and we created memories, you know. So that's, you know, and then we tried to do the same thing with your dad to a certain degree. We went up to Michigan together. Mm-hmm, you know, he did. Lived a little bit further, so we'd spend the night.
Yeah. And my dad was more quiet. He was kind of opposite of your dad.
Yeah.
And, but he always got joy out of my close friends, you know, out of you coming. He would always ask about you. And that just brought him joy.
Yeah,
he really did. And makes me sad.
You know, I think, though, that as parents, like right now, our children are in their, my oldest child is 30 and our youngest son is 19 and Catherine's youngest daughter is 19 and oldest son is what, 24?
24. He'll be 25.
Okay. Yeah. So right now we're happy to see our kids in good, solid relationships with friends. But I can imagine that when our kids are in their 50s, you know, and Lord willing, we're in our 70s, that we would also just be happy. If our children are happy, we're happy.
Right.
I don't think we're going to lose that. I, from what I saw of your dad and from what you saw of my dad, I know that to them, we're just their babies. You know, we're their daughters, their little, you know, their babies.
I think my dad was in disbelief a lot of times. Like, wow, my daughter is, you know, a grown woman.
Yeah.
An adult telling me what to do.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, telling me it's reversal roles. So I know that that was a big thing for him.
Yeah. And sadly for both of us, our dads had similar medical conditions. Mm-hmm. They both had type 2 diabetes, which is a devastating disease that affects so many organs. And it's like a slow, painful, chronic condition that just, it can kind of give you like it pulls the rug out from under you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the case of both of our dads, when they passed, weren't really, like, they weren't, we didn't think they were going to die.
No.
We did not think that at all.
And I wonder, how did I not know that? I went with my dad to all of his doctor appointments, cardiologist.
Yeah.
Of course, this was later, but still, I didn't think that it was that imminent.
Yeah, and I think hindsight, looking back, I didn't realize how fragile a person with type 2 diabetes really is, and they're in their, you know, 75 and up. how fragile their organs are, because mm-hmm. it's a multi-organ kind of condition, and you have to have these organs have to be working in order for you to live. And that's why it's so important for us to take care of ourselves as we move forward. You know, if you're in your 40s or 50s or whatever, and you're like, oh, we have diabetes in our family, I am speaking to myself here, as well as I'm sure you're saying the same things to yourself as we're working on getting our COVID-19 off,
yeah,
our weight.
Right.
But taking control as much as we can.
Yeah, you're exactly right about the organs. And I wonder if I was in denial, because I, you know, every time we went to either the cardiologist or we would go to the kidney doctor, regular GP, would read all of the information on, mm-hmm. on, you know, the posters and then the handouts. I would lecture my dad. I went with him to diabetes classes. I knew all of that. And yet, I just didn't think he was going to die when he did. Also, a month before he passed away, I'm just now recalling this, the kidney doctor had told me that my dad was in, I think, like, maybe stage 2 kidney failure. And I, you know, I was aghast. I was just so worried. And she said, oh, people live a long time with that. A yeah. lot of people yeah. are in stage 2. So then I felt assured and didn't think anything of it. But we don't really know what actually what my dad died from. I mm-hmm. suspect a blood clot may have traveled. Mm-hmm. That's just me, though. It yeah. just says natural causes for him. But yeah. he was in bad shape.
The other really difficult thing for Catherine's family was her father passed during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
My dad yeah. passed in December of 2019, and so that was a few months before COVID really was rampant in the USA. So that was hard, Catherine. You know, I'm really sorry mm-hmm. that you went through that and weren't able to grieve properly.
That was horrible. It really was. First of all, we couldn't go to the hospital when he was yeah. in the hospital. That was very difficult. And another layer of difficulty was that my dad could not hear a thing.
Yeah.
His hearing was so bad. So I knew that when the medical staff were going to be asking him questions, he wouldn't be able to answer or hear them or understand. And he fakes it a lot.
Yeah.
So it's really what the concern. It was just very difficult. And then worst of all, is not being able to have a proper funeral.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Awful. I feel bitter even now. And it's, what, how many months later? Like 7 months later.
I'm sure there are many people who would feel the same way.
Yeah.
And do feel the same way, because so many people had to go through that
mm-hmm.
where they either didn't have a proper, not to say proper, but it's almost like you were robbed the opportunity to grieve with your friends and family.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's something to say about closure.
Yeah.
I can see now why there are wakes mm-hmm. and funerals. I can see that now.
Yeah. So our hearts go out to anybody listening who's been in that position, because, mm-hmm. you know, I see it in my friend. I see it in her eyes, you know, just mm-hmm. how dreadful that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Down we are in the pits again. Let's come up. Come up for air.
That's okay.
Well, we were supposed to record this episode yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you share with our listening friends, why did we have to push it back a day?
Right. Because here I had such a challenging day the day before yesterday. And it's all because of caring for my mom, mm-hmm. really. So that particular day, the day before, I was taking care of her, and simultaneously on a 5-hour back and forth phone calls with her insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. It's Medicare mixed with her Blue Cross Blue Shield. We found out she hasn't been covered since the end of December. It was a big mix-up. Anyway, it's very stressful mm-hmm. because just imagine 5 hours of trying to straighten that out. In the midst of that, I got a phone call from one of the doctors that saw her in the hospital back in November, that every time they tried to put the claim through with the insurance, it was denied.
Hmm.
So I don't really understand that because she was covered at that time. So mm-hmm. that should have been covered. But anyway, when that phone call first came to me, I had run out real quick to the Walgreens that was not very far from where I was taking care of my mom. And I'm juggling things in my hands that I needed for myself to take care of for myself because I'm suffering from the sleep and restless leg. Anyway, and I also had to get this prescription straightened out for my mom. And that was a whole nother thing too, that all came down that day. Anyway, so this phone call comes in. I can't understand the woman. Her accent was just very heavy. And so that was another thing, trying to understand her. And it was just stressful. It was stressful. And then I wanted to get back to my mom so she wasn't left alone too long. And then when I got home, my daughter, who is only 19, was needing my assistance and my attention, trying to tell me something about some trouble she had mm-hmm. at school, at her college. And I wasn't processing it. I didn't understand what she was talking about. And she got upset with me and kind of stormed off. My other daughter was expressing concerns about having a job. She graduated from college. And oh, and also,
boy, here it comes. Here comes everybody.
Ear fatigue, listeners. I'm sorry. That's we're just okay. giving you a taste yeah. of.
Let it out. That's why we're here. What else happened? Well, Kat?
My oldest son, while all of this was going on, I was getting all kinds of messages in regards to he's trying to purchase a home for the first time, and he kind of needs his hand held. Just assurance.
Well,
really.
Sure. He's never been through it before.
Yeah. So I was getting messages from the realtor and also from different mortgage lenders mm-hmm. because he's shopping around for the best suitable thing.
You know what I'm picturing right now? I'm picturing an octopus and it's you and there's somebody tugging on every single one of your octopus limbs.
Well, it's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And so because of all of that, and when I got home, I was going to do more research for this podcast, mm-hmm. but then I had to make dinner and there were the demands of, you know, just family stuff. And I was exhausted and I didn't want to work on aging parents.
And you're like, forget the research. I am the research.
I actually did say that. I yeah. said, I did do some research, but I was as I kept reading, I thought, I'm just going to say my own thing. I know more than this doctor. So, and what really set me off the next mm-hmm. day, we just got done praying. Tracy and I are in a prayer group every Wednesday. And after prayer, we were going to record this episode anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were thinking about it, I think.
Right.
Anyway, I got a message from my husband. He texted me and he said,
uh-oh.
And he knew.
Remember, he's our sponsor.
Yes, I know. That's just it. He just loves us no matter what.
I know.
Us, okay. Meaning our family.
Let it out.
So he sends me a text. Would you pick up my prescriptions at the,
yeah.
the pharmacy? And I just instantly felt tension and anxiety and frustration. And I thought to myself, he knows what my day was like yesterday. Was he just pretending to know? And I thought, why can't you get it? He had a hair appointment right down the street from there after work. So I was thinking he could easily get it. And then I had to, you know, do a checkup from the neck up is what our friend says. And just think about why was I upset with that? I mean, it wasn't a big deal, well, really.
Yeah, it was, because I can tell you exactly why you were upset about it. I used to describe it to people who would say about motherhood, you know, because having five boys, I've juggled a lot. Mm-hmm. And in those seasons of time, I lost both of my parents, right? So I had to juggle kids and parents and the whole thing. I used to describe it like it was like you're driving your car at night in a blizzard and you see all those snowflakes coming at you.
Yeah.
That's where you were
yeah.
at that time. So that's why picking up a prescription was such a big deal. It was just another snowflake in the million snowflakes that were coming at you at that time. Yeah. And so, in my opinion, Kenny's wrong. If you're asking me, Kenny, if you're listening, you're wrong. And get your own prescription.
And get this. If it's too much that I'm saying, we could just edit it out.
No.
But
let the truth out. Let the guilty pay.
So later in the day. Oh, so we decided not to do the episode. Yes.
Well, we were crunched for time because we sat down to kind of go over our outline, mm-hmm. and then you had a doctor's appointment.
Exactly. So that's what I'm getting
for you.
So I go to the doctor, and it's a neurologist. I'm having this problem in my foot.
She's got nerves. She's got the Jimmy leg.
I've got the Jimmy leg.
Restless leg syndrome. Yeah.
Seinfeld fans would know that. Anyway, and so then he prescribes a medicine for me. So I have to go to the pharmacy anyway, I think to myself, right?
So you're going to get Kenny's.
So I'm going to get Kenny's. So I drive the, I think it's like 18, 20 miles from the doctor's office to the pharmacy. And I made a stop on the way, giving them enough time to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to the pharmacy window and there's no line. I was like, well, wow, this is great. Oh. Because our pharmacy in town always has a long line. And anyway, it's very busy. So I get up to the window. My prescription isn't ready, but Kenny's is. So she says, oh, do you want to get them both at the same time? I said, you know, you better give me his just in case I don't get back. So she tells me it'll be ready in 20 minutes. I go and run an errand. I come back. Long line.
Oh, boy. Did
very
you wait?
Very long line. I had, yeah.
You had to, because you had to get your prescription.
Yeah, and I thought, should I go in? Would it be faster? And then I'm thinking, I'm not going to lose my place in line because there's only one car in front of me. Mm-hmm. Well, the car in front of me
took forever.
Was there for 12 minutes.
Oh no, 12 minutes.
That's a long time.
It is.
In the line. Yeah. So I was like steaming. But anyway, I actually wanted to beat my horn. I didn't. I didn't.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It held her back.
I also wanted to walk up to the car and ask the person, and I could tell it was a woman because I was looking in her side mirror. Boy. Ask her if she pressed the little button that you have to press at the window.
Oh.
I was so tempted.
I'm so glad you didn't do that.
I didn't. I did not. But I was keeping an eye on her to make sure that she...
she didn't fall asleep or worse.
Because if you don't press the little button, sometimes they don't
come. They don't come. Well, I'm glad that you got through that.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah, they're in it now, so they might as well just hang on.
Yeah.
But I can relate to that. I can relate to that. And I'll bet you that anybody listening to this story could relate to it too.
Yeah.
At some point.
That's why we're doing it, right?
That's right. Cause you know, it's not that bad. We're all going to get through it together.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some really good spiritual encouragement at the end of this podcast. So hang on for that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into the when, the why, and the what. Catherine's got some interesting factoids to share with us.
So, yeah, when should you start to get your affairs in order for either yourself or even or your parents? Well, I'd say it's never too early.
I would agree
with
that.
I mean, look at your situation with your mom, right?
Yeah, right.
Do it before you are going through the change.
Yeah.
Because, boy, is that hard. Because in the mix of all of that other day that I was telling you about,
yeah,
I have that going on.
The change.
Yeah, the change.
Ugh.
It's not morbid. It feels like it, you think, when you start talking
to talk about death is not
to your
morbid
parents. Yeah, it's not morbid. It's not greedy in a way. I think some people, like myself,
mm-hmm.
feel like, oh, we're gonna start talking about finances, getting your finances in order, and it comes across sometimes, I think. I don't know.
Here's the problem.
Maybe or maybe not.
The problem, I think, with this is that nobody likes to talk about money.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even within families, parents don't talk to their kids about kinds of money things, typically.
Typically.
And mm-hmm. kids don't share that, typically, with parents. They don't share details of your financial situation, probably, with anybody,
mm-hmm.
other than maybe your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of culturally our situation, right? Mm-hmm. We're just not open to talking about money.
Right.
So it's sort of, it's not a morbid thought, but it's just not an open conversation that you have. So that's money. And then you have death. Who wants to talk about death?
Exactly.
And we're all walking around in denial, like every single one of us knows that we're going to die.
Right.
But none of us think it's going to happen to us. Like, we got a long time, right? You know what I mean?
You kind of do think that.
You do. So you've got mm-hmm. money and death, two things that we're not accustomed to talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it is morbid in a way. Mm. And it's kind of like moving a muscle that you haven't moved.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. Yeah. And parents can get defensive.
Sure.
Mine did.
I could too. Mm-hmm. You know, like if my kids came to me and said, you know, what have you got figured out for your retirement? I'd be like, why don't you get your little nose in your own little affairs? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. When my kids approach me with that, I've watched way too many crime shows. So my mind is going to be like, you little runt. Get up.
I'm calling the cops.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So it's never too soon to have the conversation about what are we going to do, you know, when the time comes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not just thinking about death, but also talk about what if I'm incapacitated?
Right.
Getting the POA set up, the power of attorney, getting some things like out in the open, like if I'm unable to communicate, here's what I would like, you know, to have happen to my care if I'm still alive. Like, don't pull the plug until, you know, you absolutely know there's there's no brain activity at all. Yeah. You know, like unconscious is different than brain dead. There's, please know the difference. Please.
Tracy has a look of panic in her
eyes. You should see me.
That was funny.
Yeah. You're welcome.
One thing I had to tell myself, too, was that there's no shame or guilt in it. Because I felt a little shame. I can't describe it. But I sort of did. Mm-hmm. And guilt. And also, you're not sealing their fate.
Right.
I felt that way, too. Like, you know, bringing it up, I'm just sealing their fate.
Right.
So those are just a few things about when it's never too early, basically.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. What about why?
Overwhelming. If you leave it to the end, let's just call it the end. Mm-hmm. You have way too much to deal with at one time. Mm. You don't know if you're going to have something in your immediate family, if you have one. And then you have your parent situation or parent situation on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's way too overwhelming. And so you don't want that to happen all at once.
One thing that just popped into my mind, my husband and I just purchased a car. And when we purchased the car, we had to get it titled, you know, in our name. Mm. And he was going to have it titled in his name. And I said, no, put my name on there too.
Yeah.
And I remembered my mother-in-law telling me that. She told me that some time ago, that it's best to have vehicles titled in both the husband and the wife's name because it can be a big major headache down the road if it's not. So there's a tip for our listeners. The next time you purchase something that has a title on it, trailer, camper, vehicle.
Toys that have wheels.
Yeah.
They, because we experience.
Do snowmobiles have titles?
I don't think so because they don't have wheels. They don't go on the road.
Oh, okay. I think. But like a motorcycle.
Definitely. ATV.
Okay.
Actually the ATV is off-road.
Yeah.
You should know because we just had to deal with all of that.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Well, if anybody listening has tips to share too with our audience, please do, you know, because we're not experts in legal things, but we've just been through it.
Right.
You know, and it is a major pain in the butt to try to retitle something.
Especially if they have more than one home and they have titles out of state.
Yeah.
I can just tell you. And you add COVID on top of that.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's going to be your new full-time job. Unpaid, but full-time.
I do not know how people who are committed to working with a time schedule who actually work. I don't work, but... people who do who have to get these tasks done.
Our neighbor was like that. Remember across the street when we used to walk with Kelly, our neighbor, when she was taking care of her mom, and it was hard, very hard. So our hearts are there with everybody going through this,
for sure.
All right, so that's what you got. Another why?
I do.
Oh, go for it.
Yes. Because you could have more quality time with your parent in the end, if you get things out of the way. And so that's a very good reason.
Yeah.
And you can have all kinds of issues. Like we just mentioned titles, but I put that down. Titles and finances, their debts, if they have any.
Mm-hmm.
The medical insurance, if you don't know about that, that's a big pain, or it can be, if you've got to figure things out with that.
Yeah.
Probate issues.
And if your parents have if they have like a cash stash somewhere. Please have them tell you where it is. Not because you're going to go dipping in it. You better not be doing that. But just, you know, so that you're not frantically going through everything looking to see if there's money stashed somewhere.
And know your parents' friends, because it's likely they may have told a close friend things that you might not know.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on your little sheet of paper there?
Well, not for the why or whatever we just covered.
Well, let's go to the what. There was a what question.
What to do. Know their prescription medication.
That's hard to keep up with when you've got type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
And it changes.
Every day.
It changes because they're always having to make adjustments because we've talked about the organ thing and know their doctors and any procedures and all their ailments. You've got to know that stuff.
No, okay. So now when you say know their prescriptions, know their doctors, know their procedures and ailments, what kind of advice would you give to someone who's listening, who's like, oh, my parent was just diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. How can I be supportive? Should they put it in their phone and then keep an updated file? What would you do?
Absolutely. Okay. Keep it in the phone or whatever method you use that you will always have with you.
Yeah.
I had it in my phone, but I also have a little booklet that I carry around because there were so many times that either, you know, one of my parents was going to the ER and they were not able to answer questions that were, you know, pertinent to the diagnosis. So you want to have that on you. You want to know. So I have that. And have your parent sign the HIPAA-related documents so that you can have access to the medical info. So if you're not a POA, but you have your parent at every facility they go to, give the authorization for you to know and be able to make the phone calls or whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Mm-hmm. And on that form, I would say have your parent put everybody on there at one time. And if you have adult children who are over whatever the HIPAA age is it 18? If over 18, whatever it is, we ran into this problem when our son, Joel, when he was injured on the job.
I had this prop, yeah.
Okay, so if your kids are over, I think it's 18, have them fill out the HIPAA forms and put you and whoever in their life would be okay with getting the info. Otherwise, you are going to be up a creek without a paddle.
Yes, I totally agree. My daughter Emily has to see a cardiologist every 6 months. Mm-hmm. She was born with a heart defect. It's been fixed, praise the Lord, but she does have follow-up. And too funny. She was in college and the establishment where she gets her heart checked had called about her bill.
Oh, yeah.
And they
the bill.
They wouldn't talk to me.
Right, and you're
and
the
I
one
had
paying
been
it.
Taking my daughter since she was an infant and I wasn't used to this transition of them not giving me information and all of a sudden they were not letting me and I said, "You want the bill paid, right?" And I said, "I understand." The HIPAA thing. Yeah. But my daughter is in college. She has no clue
what's
how
going
these
on.
Bills get paid.
Right. She thinks anyway. The bill fairy comes and pays all the bills.
Yes. I never thought of having her sign a HIPAA thing because I had always been, since she was an infant, taking her there.
Yeah.
Why would I, you know, so.
You know, just recently, you know, that my son Adam broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
And he's 21.
Oh.
Yeah. And when we got there to fill out the forms and stuff, I told him, I said, "Adam, put me and Dad down on your HIPAA form." And he was like, why? What if it's private? I'm like, okay.
Fine.
You're
stuck
You're
with
on
it.
Your own. No, I explained.
Big shot.
Yeah. He thought he had all this power. I'm like, trust me. This is just so I can help you sort out the bills at the end and, you know, the insurance nightmares. And he's like, oh, yeah, put my mom down.
Right. Also, if you can, whatever your relationship is with your parent, just if you can, ask them for their passwords, usernames, and everything for all of their accounts, their account numbers, social security passwords, all of that. It's good to have it because... you just don't know what's in store.
Yeah.
Foreseeable future.
And even if they're skittish about sharing their private data while they're alive, at least try to keep them in the mindset of all the passwords are written down here and here it is.
Yeah.
So that when they do pass, you can find it.
Yeah.
And sort things out.
Right.
Because it's almost like, it's almost like having a giant puzzle with no box, you know, and you're not even sure if all the pieces are there. And it's very time consuming.
It's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. It adds a lot of stress to life, to everyday life anyway.
Right.
It's all those snowflakes.
Exactly. And I really would take that step even before you discuss with them who's going to be the POA, if at all.
Yeah.
You know, a living trust, pour over will, POA, whatever you decide, you have to have those conversations.
Right.
Because someone's going to have to deal with it. Also, cemetery plots.
Oh.
Trying to get that in order because that is also overwhelming.
Yeah.
And seems weird even just mentioning it, you know. And like I said before, it's helpful if you know who their friends are. Mm-hmm. And maybe even like Facebook account information. I don't know if you really need to do that.
I think they allow you on Facebook to put your account into like memorial status or something like that.
Yeah. I'm about to sneeze.
That's okay. You could step out for a minute if you have to. She looks like she's going to.
It went away.
Okay, good.
I think it's also helpful to get pictures and slides, VHS tapes, all of that consolidated ahead of time. It's a lot to go through that. My dad was a fanatic over audio stuff. He had those big, way before tape recorders were invented, those big wheels I don't even remember what they're called, but he had that. He had 8mm stuff. Oh my goodness, he had so much. It's just helpful. Of course, talk about their wishes. Try to make amends if you have any connect, any discord or anything like that. Just try, because you don't want to regret that.
That's really good advice, because, you know, we're all human and we disagree, you know, on things. And sometimes words are spoken that shouldn't be spoken. And saying I'm sorry can go a long way.
It sure
really can. Yeah.
Forgiveness just... If you need to be forgiven, ask for it.
And say, I love you.
Yeah.
Just say, I love you. You know, I love you warts and all.
Mm-hmm.
that's how I want to be loved.
Yeah.
I don't want to be loved thinking I've got it all together. I want to be loved fully known. I want you to know I'm not perfect, that I've got a lot of flaws, but I still want you to love me. That's how I want to love other people.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, help me.
And lastly, say anything you need to say. If there's any spiritual things you need to say, any spiritual doubt, talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, those are things you should do.
You know, as Christians, we love to say, heaven is my home. We love it. We love to say that. But none of us are homesick. We don't want to leave this earth right now. We don't want to be separated from our loved ones. And that's really what death does. Is it's a permanent separation from this life, you know, but it's also the opportunity to begin a new life in Christ, in heaven, in glory, in perfection, in, you know, all of that. So, yeah. All right. Well, you have anything else to share?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think I do.
Well, I had a couple of things that we were talking about this yesterday, and what?
Oh, I just remembered. We were going to ask each other, what would we do different?
Right. That's
Oh, is that what you were
going
to do?
That's where I was going. But, well, good for us. We're on the same page. So we talked about this, about, like, what would you do differently? And for the benefit of someone listening who hasn't had this experience yet, you know, could there be something that they could learn from listening to this podcast? There were two things that were, I thought, helpful. That I would do differently.
Okay.
The first one is I would communicate with my parent. I would ask them, you know, what do you want after you pass? What do you want? You know, when my mom died, oh my gosh, I was so young. I didn't know what I was scared, really, really scared. And I do remember she and I having a conversation. I was with her at the Mayo Clinic for some treatment for her. She had bone cancer. And she started bleeding profusely through her nose, and it wouldn't stop.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had to get an ambulance. And she thought she was going to pass out and die. So she was telling me, I was 23 years old or whatever, mm-hmm. and she was like, have me cremated, have me shipped back to Illinois, you know, from Minnesota. And I'm just like,
oh my God.
Well, she survived that. And we, at the, you know, once things settled down, then my mom and I had a little chat about, you know, what's it going to be like after she's gone? But we were talking more so about how the family was going to change, the dynamics, you know, because moms are typically the hub
mm-hmm.
and the spokes, you know, like mm-hmm. family dinners, family parties, blah, blah, blah. With my dad, you know, with him being 77 when he passed, I regret not communicating with him and just saying, Dad, what do you want to have happen after you pass? I never asked him that question. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was too private.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That morbid feeling. See? It's too morbid to talk about.
Here's the problem, though. Once they're gone, you can't ask him.
Exactly.
And I wish that I had said with my brother and sister, I wish the three of us had just gone to our dad and said, we want what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want is fine with us, but we want to make sure it's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So share with us. What do you want? And we'll make sure that happens.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been beautiful. That didn't happen, but I would encourage anybody listening to have the courage to maybe say it that way. You know, Dad or Mom, when you're gone, I just want to make sure that you get what you want. I don't want anything out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not looking for something
yeah.
except what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make that happen. Then the second piece of advice that I would give to people listening is when you do get your affairs legally set up, make sure that you don't just go to any lawyer because
yes.
there's a big difference.
Yes.
And mm. I would say get a specialist, someone who deals with estate planning primarily or just solely,
mm-hmm.
or an elder law attorney,
mm-hmm.
someone who specializes in estate plans and elder law.
Yeah, you don't want a jack of all trades attorney.
No, and you especially don't want like a personal injury lawyer. You know, you really don't. That would be like going to a podiatrist for your heart condition.
Yeah.
They're still a doctor,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know nothing about the heart, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, so you definitely want to go to an elder law attorney or a real estate, not real estate, but estate planning
yeah.
attorney. Somebody who knows the ins and the outs, the intricacies, things like that. Because it can save you a lot of time. Time is a commodity. And mm-hmm. it can save you a lot of stress and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you're going the cheap route by getting, you know, Joe Schmo who has a legal degree. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Those are my two takeaways.
Mm, those are good.
Yeah.
Well, what I would do and advise, besides getting everything in order, you
mm-hmm.
know, as far in terms of finances and passwords and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish what I had done was spent more time having my children, so the grandkids, more involved in their lives
mm.
in earlier time. We definitely did things.
Sure.
I mean, we would bring them up to the cottage. My dad loved that. But I think I would have them more engaged. I have that regret.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, once somebody's gone, we all have those moments and thoughts.
For sure.
That, you know, that reminds me of one other thing. I do wish that, you know, when my dad went through hospice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I thought we had way more time than we did
mm-hmm.
to say things, you know, and we just didn't. And I wish,
yeah.
I wish that I had just said, Dad, you know, what would you say to me? I mean, I can't even repeat the last words that my dad said to me because he swore. So I can't say it. He didn't swear in a bad way, but
no,
we were
just the butch way.
It was the butch way. I can tell them this much, that we had gotten the news that there was no more hope for him and he was going to need hospice care. And it was very tearful. And my dad said, "What the bleep are you crying about?"
To you. Yeah. You were the one that was, yeah.
Well, he said it, yeah. And that was the last thing that I really heard him say. I mean, I was with him throughout the few days that, you know, that he was leaving this world. Sorry. But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to get emotional because it is what it is. I mean, it's sad to say goodbye to somebody.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish, in a way, it's kind of funny that those were the last words that my dad said to me because that's so typical, you know?
You know, I'm sitting here thinking how that was so typical of your dad. My dad was so typical. His very last thing that he said to me was, "I never wanted to be a burden to anybody."
Mm.
It's the very last thing he said to me.
Yeah.
And then the ambulance came and took him away. And I didn't know that that was going to be the last thing. I didn't know he was going to pass away that day. But that was typical of my dad.
It was. And, you know, I have to say this on your behalf because I know that this happened. Catherine went to be with her dad. Right. She didn't know he was going to die, but she would just had like this feeling that she needed to be there. The caregiver had called and said that he was struggling with some things. And the caregiver said, "Don't come, but I just wanted you to be aware of it." And Catherine just had this like, "Nope, I'm coming. I have to go." Mm-hmm. And thank God you did.
Yeah.
Because you had those, you know, experience that time with him.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that was going to be it.
No, definitely not.
Oh my goodness, all the emotions. It's hard. Life is hard, you know. Yeah. Life is hard.
Yeah,
it's hard to go through these things. Mm-hmm. Well, let's lift us up.
Yes,
let's lift everybody up with some scripture. Mm-hmm. Did we cover everything that we wanted to cover?
Yeah,
you have anything else? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the scripture, this is an excellent resource.
Yeah.
And it's called Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling Women. It's by Patricia A. Miller. It's basically like a big list of different verses that can bring encouragement for specific times in life.
Yeah, it's a go-to reference.
It is.
For all the, like you just said.
Yeah, and Catherine and I both received a copy of this from our friend Tamitra when we served in ministry together. And here's the scripture that we feel the Lord would like to encourage all of us with right now. And it is from Psalm 90, and it's verses 10 and 12. So skip verse 11 because it just kind of... kind of brings it kind of wonky. You can read it. Now they're going to want to know, what is verse 11?
Yeah,
saying?
They're going to say, why is God's word wonky? Well,
it's not wonky.
It's not wonky, but it's wonky.
Just listen.
Yeah.
Here it is. "The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom."
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love the perspective there is saying to us, even if you live a long life, right? Mm-hmm. This is all fleeting. It's all a chasing after the wind. That in Ecclesiastes, they talk about it that way. In the book of James, they call it a vapor, a mist. Mm-hmm. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. And teach us to number our days means let's see what can we do right now today, right? Mm-hmm. Let's not dwell on the past. Let's not worry about the future. Let's dwell on today, these 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And who's in front of us right now? Right now, it's my bestie. So how can I bless you? Yeah. That's our word of encouragement to everyone to hang in there and to maybe follow some of these tips that we've given. And God bless you as you know, soldier on, one foot in front of the other.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.